hang it, Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. You killed poor Laurie Foster, and you know you're bound to die.
I love music and I love a good audience. And I still have to make a living at 88 years old. And me, Abel, why would I quit?
Doc Watson was born, raised, and still resides in Deep Gap, North Carolina. He is a legend of American folk and bluegrass music, having taken home a number of honors, including a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award and the National Medal of the Arts. An early eye infection made him go blind by his first birthday. But that never stopped Doc from becoming one of the country's most skilled guitar players, or from leaving the South alone as a young man to journey to make his name in New York. He found an early champion of his music in Ralph Rinsler, a musicologist who scoured the country looking for artists to include on his Folkways record label.
It was in the spring, one sunny day, my sweetheart left me, yeah, she went away.
Doc's career found a boost as the folk revival of the 60s gained popularity, and he earned a spot on stage at the Newport Folk Festival starting in 1963. He's still on the road today, and we caught up with him when he was outside Washington, D.C. These days, Doc tours with fellow musician David Holt. Holt is also a storyteller, historian, and host of the PBS series Great Scenic Railway Journeys. I started by asking Doc about his early days.
What started me in music, when I was 10 years old, Dad would come in from work on Friday evening, and Jimmy Rogers, the yodeler, was one of the favorites in the family. And I loved those songs, and I could yodel at 10 years old.
your dad knew that you were a musical child from very early on, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Let me tell you this little story about that. You can imagine how I felt when I walked out on the porch. And Dad had finished his last cup of coffee and went in the living room of the little house where I was raised. And he said, son, come in here. I got something to give you for Christmas. I went in there, and he called the old-timers in the mountains, called them a French harp instead of a harmonica. That little fancy word didn't get in there. He had a C harmonica in there, and he said, now, son, you hear me talk about notes? And in the songbook, he led the singing at church, and do re mi fa sol la ti do. And then he said, now the harmonica's got them notes on there, and he played that little thing what I just said right there on that harp, and then he handed it to me, and he said, now let me play you a little bit of an old time tune. You've heard me and your mama sing it. And he played me a little bit of Home Sweet Home, and then I did that on the harp. I figured I could learn to do that, and I got to where I could do that before I got that harp and went out of there with it. And he said, now you can learn to play it and note it with your tongue. I can't show you what I'm talking about unless I had the harp in my hand. I'll show you right now what he meant by that. Didn't put the tremolo on the end of it.
Hang it, Tom Dooley, hang your head and cry. You killed poor Laurie Foster, and you know you're bound to die.
One of the reasons Doc is such a great singer, I think, after listening to him and playing with him for 14 years, is because his emotions are very close to the surface, and he can access them really quickly in a song. And he's not just singing some song with some just words that don't make any sense. He's really thought about the words and what they mean. And so he's telling you a story when he's singing that song. So he puts the words to his emotions, and that's why they come out powerfully, I think.
To make her your wife, you took her on the hillside, and there you took her life.
I asked Doc what it was like as a young man to leave the comforts of home and use almost all the money he had to buy a bus ticket and try his luck on the road.
The bus drivers were very courteous, every one I run into. There was one old boy. I got to tell you boys this story, and you can leave it on this if you will. I was coming back on a Trailways bus, and Howard Campbell was driving that bus, and he was a good old boy. I was sitting across the aisle in the about a little ways back in the bus, and there was a drunk fella. There's a girl sitting across from me, a young girl. She's about, I guess she's about 14 or 15. And he was pestering that young'un and had her crying. And he was so drunk he didn't know where he was at. Old Howard come back there and sobered him up for just a minute. Jerked him off of that seat and slammed him back on the seat by the side of me where he had been a-sitting. And he said, "Mister, if I have to come back here one more time, you're going to be sorry." Well, he went back up there and went to driving, and that idiot went up there and drunk her and a skunk and hit that driver in the back of the head and him a driving that bus with a load of people on it.
Oh, my goodness.
And he didn't flamp and try and let it get away from him. He stopped the bus on the edge of that little old narrow road that came across Valley Mountain down there. And he come back there and jerked that guy off that seat and tuck him up front and slapped him 14 ways for Sunday and bumped him off against the door and then went down in there and beat the devil out of him, opened the door and kicked him out on the snow and said, "Now you walk home, you drunk son of a..."
What was it like, Doc, for a young man to get, you'd never really been that far from Boone, to get on a bus and go all the way to New York City that first time?
Well, it was something I needed to do, and that helped me do it. And the drivers were all courteous, every one of them.
Yeah.
We'd have some stops, and the most of them, they'd come back there, and I couldn't see, you know, and they'd come back there and ask me if I was hungry. And yes, I am. Have you got any money? No, sir. Just enough to buy my ticket. That's all I had. Yeah. And he'd take me in the stop place to stop. There was a place at Banner Elk. He always stopped and got something to eat. And he'd buy me some food when I'd go in there with him. And that boy would. And most of them were just like him, as friendly as they could be. And it was a thing that they did out of a good heart, every yeah. one of them. And they didn't want to see nobody running over me, as my dad used to put, being mean to somebody. Them bus drivers didn't like that either.
That was Doc Watson and David Holt talking with Artbeat. I'm Mike Melia. Thank you for listening.